The summer of 1960 was made memorable by the release of a novel titled To Kill a Mockingbird. It racked up a record sale in hardcover and softcover, and it was a gentle, compassionate work which became a great motion picture. Miss Lee, with her very first novel, became one of our leading novelists.
What was your reaction to the success of To Kill a Mockingbird? I often wondered how an author who wrote what became an immediate smash, both critically and as far as sales were concerned, would react.
Well, my reaction to it was not one of surprise. It was one of sheer numbness. It was one of being hit over the head and knocked cold. It was something I never expected to... I never expected that the book would sell in the first place. I was hoping for a quick and merciful death at the hands of the reviewers, but I was hoping that maybe somebody might like it well enough to give me some encouragement about it, some public encouragement.
Did you got, I think, all the encouragement any one writer
yes.
needs for a lifetime. What have you been working on since To Kill a Mockingbird appeared?
I'm working on another novel, and like Mockingbird, it goes very slowly. I'm a slow worker. I think a steady worker. You know, so many writers don't like to write. I think that's their chief complaint. They hate to write. They must. They do it under the compulsion that makes any artist what he is. But they really don't enjoy sitting down and trying to turn a thought into a reasonable sentence. But I do, I like to write. And sometimes I'm afraid that I like it too much, because when I get into work, I don't want to leave it. And as a result, I'll go for days and days and days without leaving my house, wherever I am. I'll just go out long enough to get the papers and get some food, and that'll be it. It's strange.
To Kill a Mockingbird was made into what I thought was an unusually fine motion picture with much of the integrity of the book held. How did you feel about it?
I felt the same way, Roy. As a matter of fact, I have nothing but gratitude to the people who made the film. It was a most unusual experience. I think I'm no judge, and the only film I'd ever seen being made was Mockingbird, but there was an aura of feeling on the set. I went out and looked at them filming a little of it, but there was a feeling of such kindness, or such, it seemed to me to be such respect for the material that they were working with. Of course, I was delighted, I was touched, I was happy, I was exceedingly grateful. But it seemed to permeate everyone who had anything to do with the film, from the director, from Greg Peck, from the producer, down to the man who designed the sets, to the peripheral characters and the actors who were playing the smaller parts.
One question I want to ask concerns the South as a whole. Why is it that such a disproportionate share of our fine fiction, of our most sensitive fiction, springs from writers who were born and reared in the South?
Roy, first of all, you have to consider who Southerners are. We are a mixture of Celtic. We run high to Celtic influence. We are mostly Irish, Scottish, English, Welsh. We grew up in an agricultural society mainly. The tradition of the South is not urban. It is not industrial, or wasn't. At least our heritage is not such. I think we are a region of storytellers naturally, just by our tribal instincts, just from our tribal instincts. We did not have the pleasures of the theater, of the dance, of motion pictures when they came along. We simply entertain each other by talking. It's quite a thing if you've never gone or if you've never known a southern small town. The people there are not particularly sophisticated, of course, or not worldly wise in any way, but they tell you a story every time you see one. We are oral types. We talk. And another thing that I've noticed about people at home as opposed to, say, people in small town New England, we have rather more humor about us. We are not taciturn, we are not wry, we are not laconic. Our whole society is geared to talk rather than to, we work hard, of course, but we do it in a different way. We work in order not to work. Any time spent on business is more or less time wasted, but you have to do it in order to be able to hunt and fish and gossip. No, but I think that this heritage of our, first of all, our ethnic background, then the absence of so much to do in the sense of to go somewhere, see something. We can't go and see a play. We can't go to a big league baseball game when we want to. We have had to have entertained ourselves for years. That was my childhood. If I went to a film once a month, that was pretty wonderful for me and for all children like me. We had to use our own devices for our play, for our entertainment. We didn't have much money. Nobody had any money. We didn't have many toys to play with. Nothing was done for us. So the result was that we lived in our imaginations most of the time. We devised things. We were readers. And then we would transfer everything that we had seen on the printed page to the backyard in high forms of drama. Did you never play Tarzan when you were a child, or did you ever go to the jungle or refight the Battle of Gettysburg in some form or fashion? We did. Did you ever live in a treehouse? Did you ever find a whole world in the branches of a china berry tree? But I think that that kind of life naturally produces more writers than, say, living on 82nd Street in New York City. In small town life and in rural life, one knows one's neighbors. Not only does one know everything about one's neighbor, one knows everything about that neighbor's life from the time he came to the country, even. People are predictable to each other simply by family characteristics. Life is slower there. We have more chance to look around and absorb what we see. We're not in such a hurry that we can't do anything except go to the office and come home and have a drink and settle down and collapse for the evening.
My final question concerned Miss Lee's ultimate ambitions as a writer.
Well, my objectives are very limited. I simply want to do the best I can with the talent that God gave me, I suppose. I would like to be the chronicler of something that I think is going down the drain very swiftly, and that is small-town, middle-class, southern life, as opposed to the Gothic, as opposed to Tobacco Road, as opposed to plantation life, that kind of thing. There is something universal in it. There's something decent to be said for it, and there's something to lament when it goes and it's going, it's passing. In other words, all I want to be is a Jane Austen of South Alabama.
This was an interview with Harper Lee, recorded in New York. And I'm Roy Newquist, your host on Counterpoint, a show designed to bring you the working philosophies of the world's major writers.